Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two. All right, we're going to get into our first segment called Girlfriend Check-In, where we usually pick a question from the conversation starter game, We're Not Really Strangers, or the book Burn After Writing. But today we're choosing a question from a website we found called parade.com that has like 200 questions for couples. Obviously, we're not a couple, but this question was a really good one and we figured why not answer it. But the question is, what memories would you like to recreate together?
Oh, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go way back in the archives.
Okay.
And if I could pick one memory, I guess it would be a collection of memories because we've done this a few times, but I wouldn't want to recreate.
I already know. Can I see if I can guess it?
No, let me say.
Okay, I just want to see if I'm right or wrong, but go ahead.
But yeah, I would recreate us making prank calls.
I knew you were going to say it. I didn't know before you started talking, but like the buildup that you were giving, I'm like, she's going to say that.
Yes. Samaria and I spent way too much time when we should have been studying, should have been being productive, which I guess we were productive making memories.
We used to take breaks from studying for like accounting and finance and stuff like that back in college. And on our breaks, why not give ourselves some, you know, comedic relief and prank call people? We did one that was really like, till this day, it's funny, but I feel guilty about it because we made one of our friends cry, not intentionally. Like, we didn't know she was gonna cry, but she did. And then we had to be like, girl, it's us. Like, we're sorry. We did not mean for you to cry. We're just playing. But yeah, it was a really good prank call. We're not evil friends or anything.
Yeah. And nobody was off limits. I mean, it could be friends, parents, aunties, cousins, the Chinese store down the street.
We did her mom one time. And she was like, is this Miosha? Like, after a few minutes, she knew exactly who it was. But yeah, good times. I knew you were going to say that. So my memory would be also in like college around that time, but it would be when you used to braid my hair. Like, so Miosha did my hair. I think it was like twice in the same semester because I was interviewing for jobs. And I was like, oh, I want to like wear my natural hair, but also be quote unquote professional, which is interesting because we just talked about Black women in the workplace and hair. But yeah, so she did my hair a couple of times, and those are just some really good memories, like seeing her in her element, seeing her create stuff. She did one hairstyle for my friend's wedding that was just amazing. So yeah, you used to be really good at those like flat twist styles. Girl, I might need to come to you.
I don't know. I've thought about getting back into it. And I don't know. It's like fun up from a creative side just to see what you can come up with. But it is a lot of work.
Especially on my head.
Listen, yeah. Samaria has a lot of hair.
And she would do the twist so small and so like cute. Like, this girl got patience.
It's the thought and care and love.
Oh, we'll both go back to our college days. But I feel like that's because we lived, we were long distance for some years after that.
Yeah. And we just had more time. We were automatically connected through school to the point where we had to start purposefully you know, not take classes together.
Yeah.
Not that they, we didn't want to be around each other, but it was just like, okay, we can't be too connected at the hip.
I can't take this class just because you're taking it. Like, I
need to.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's it for that segment. We are going to talk about our topic for today, which is like making friends at work / networking at work. And this topic was actually suggested by one of our listeners. So this is very exciting to have a listener recommend a topic for us. And we figured we'd go ahead and talk about it because I feel like you have the people who are like, these people are my coworkers. They're not my friends. I come here from 9 to 5 or whenever, and I hang out with them there. But after that, we have separate lives. Then you have the people who are like going out to happy hours and things like that. So I'm curious because we didn't have professional careers in the same state. So I don't know which one you are really. Mm-hmm. Are you the person who is open to like these work relationships outside of the office? Or are you more like, no, those are my coworkers? On a scale of 1 to 5, where do you fall?
I'd say I'm a 4. In that I'm more open than not to make friends at work. Okay. I just feel like you spend so much of your time there. And I don't see work as any different than maybe school or church or like some other type of hobby organization where anywhere you would spend a decent amount of time. Mm-hmm. Now, the depth of those friendships and what you're sharing and maybe how much time might be different, but I would definitely say I'm more open than not to being interested in those types of friendships outside of work. Like I wouldn't say I have a wall up.
Interesting. So, okay. Do you go in thinking, okay, I might leave here with a few friends, or is it just that you're open to it?
I'd say yes. I'd go into a work situation thinking like, yeah, this could happen. Now, there's a lot of factors at play. Do you work in an environment where, you know, there are more people within your age group or same stage of life? Mm. I think that can maybe make it a little bit easier to make those connections outside of work because you may share similar hobbies or interests, or you're just at the same place in life. Versus, you know, if you work with an older group of people who maybe have similar responsibilities to other people, you know, there's just a lot of factors at play. And then also the people you work with, like how open are you? How open are they? Like yeah. You might be open, but they may not be open.
Like, girl, don't talk to me. You know, I feel like going in, I don't want to be a cop out and just pick 3 because it's neutral, mm-hmm. but I do think I am a solid 3. I think when I started my career, I was a lot bit younger than a lot of the people in the office that I went to. And so I don't think I went in like, oh, I'm going to make friends here. Now at my college job, you know, my little part-time gig, I expected that, okay, we're going to all be cool because we were all around the same age. We were going to the same university. So, you know, we would definitely see each other. A few of us had the same majors, so there was the possibility of us, you know, enrolling in the same classes and things like that. But as far as like my professional career, when that started, I didn't go in thinking that way. I just went in thinking, do what you have to do. Like, this is the start of your career. You know, you have to show up and be whatever, you know, impressive. So I don't think I go in expecting that. And I also don't think I go in necessarily wanting that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how I feel. By the end of this conversation, maybe other things will be revealed, but at least that's how I feel.
Yeah. I'd say because of how much time I would envision that I would have to spend at work, it just may seem like a natural progression if things click. Not necessarily like, oh, I have to make friends here. More so like, yeah, you spend a lot of time here. You probably will over a course of however many years, maybe run into someone where you click with them, it works. True. And, you know, it just kind of develops over time. But you referenced your like first job out of college, you're early in your career. So before you went into the workforce, did anyone, could be a parent, friend, or mentor, talk to you about networking or just like making friends at work? Or did you just come to these conclusions on your own?
Yeah, I think just, so this wasn't before I went to the workforce, but it was very early on. And there was a lady in HR, and she was the one who was at my first recruiting event. So she was the one who recruited me. And so a few months in, she ran into me in the hallways and was just like, oh, how's it going? And I told her the type of people who I was meeting and, you know, what I was excited about. And she said to me, oh, I understand those people are cool. You like them. But just keep in mind, you know, there are other relationships that you want to be forming here with people who can get you places. Mm. And so she said, like, don't get too involved with the people who, I guess who I was getting involved with. But yeah, so that's the only advice that I remember hearing. And yeah, okay. How about you?
Yeah, so from a parent or friends, no. Even you and I don't think we had specific conversations around making friends at work. Now, obviously, as time went on, we talked about some of the people we met. At work, obviously, but I did have my first mentor who was also my manager right out of college. Mm-hmm. And right when I graduated from school, I kind of went into this like leadership development program post-grad. So it wasn't like a traditional work experience. It was like learning on the job, but also while working.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I have my first mentor and manager, and he specifically said to me and encouraged me to kind of meet other people in other departments. Don't just like stay in the bubble in our area. He even would set me up to go peer work with other people in different departments so mm-hmm. that I could like learn more about what they do in the company in general and just making connections, because he said like, oh, you're kind of starting in this one place, but you may decide at some point, because you're new right out of school, like you don't know what you don't know. You might actually have an interest in something else, but you need to build those connections to one, go to maybe check it out and see if you're actually interested. And yeah. then two, if you decide, hey, I want to make a pivot, you've already started making those connections with other people. So yeah, he would encourage me to do that, as well as be like, oh, Miosha, you know, like go eat lunch in the break room. Don't just like have lunch with me or like go to your car by yourself.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. My first job out of college was like that as well. So the job itself was designed for us to learn the entire company. So we had to, like, it was like built in mm-hmm. networking. So we had to sit with other people and go to other departments and things like that. I'm curious, when you went to like your next job after this one, where there wasn't kind of like a built-in networking, you know, aspect of your job, mm-hmm. Did you keep that same energy?
Like, I did. I was that person who had friends in different departments. And when I say friends, okay, you can maybe say acquaintances. I wasn't telling people my personal business and all that.
Right.
But we'll just say friends loosely. I had friends over in this department, that department. We'd have lunch together. I didn't have walls built up to say, oh, well, I work over here, so I only have friends over here. I had friends who were kind of all over. And it wasn't like a forced thing. Like I went into my next job, like, oh, I had to make friends in different departments. It just kind of worked out that way, to where when people were open and friendly with me, yeah. And if the energy was right and we clicked, then, you know, I put in the initiative and effort is what I'll say.
That makes sense. I think even though I started out by saying, oh, I don't, like, I stand by that. Like, I don't necessarily go in. I do think a little bit of my personality, because I can fake being an extrovert. I think that did serve me well as far as networking. So, you know, if you see this person in the hallway all the time and they're like kind and they're smiling and they speak to you, you know, the next time you're in a meeting with that person, it's like, oh, I know this girl from the hallway. So I do think that type of personality, and this is just because we're talking about forming relationships, professional relationships. I do think being open and being friendly, at least when you're at the facility. I do think that does help you so that even if you're not intentionally trying to make those connections, just because you show people kindness when you pass by them, hold a door open or whatever, I think those little things possibly go a long way, a longer way than expected. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you had any close relationships at work? Like, and tell us how close to.
Close is subjective. I'd say if I were to describe a close work friend, this is maybe a person or people where we'd get together outside of work, either after work, we're taking lunch together or planning to do lunches together. You kind of have each other's back in the office space. So maybe we're not spending every Saturday together, but in the free time that we do maybe have after work and maybe even a little bit later for dinner, we are making those connections. And so with that being said, I would say, yes, I did make a few close friends at work, and I would even say close enough to where they supported me through like a big life events that I had, you know, during that time period. So yeah, I'd say I've had close friends, and even if we weren't like best friends, they've been or had been like very supportive of me when I've needed them, whether it was work related stuff as well as like my own personal things that I had going on.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess I do have close friends, and for me, close doesn't mean we're meeting up and having lunches and spending Saturdays together. Like, I don't even really do that with friends that I've just found in my personal life, you know, just because I enjoy staying home. But I think for me, it's, are we keeping in touch on the phone? And so in that case, I guess I have. I also had this like online job after that. Like, it was just it's kind of what people are doing, you know, since the pandemic, where they're working from home. But it was before it was like 2015-ish. I do have really close friends from that. Now, what's interesting is I've never met these friends in person. Yeah. So they live in different states, and we all just like worked for the same company, but we've gotten really close. Like, I know their kids, I know all their business, and they know mine. we've never like been in the same, well, we've been in the same city, but it's just never worked out that we met each other face to face. So I do have those, but from my like in-person job, I just keep in touch with those people. Like, birthdays, I call them, they call me. In between, like, we might check in, how's the family doing, stuff like that. So maybe I have.
I think you have. And you mentioned that you may know their business and they may know yours. Mm-hmm. That means that you must feel comfortable enough to like share those, you know, things with them.
Yeah. When we were talking about this topic initially, I guess I didn't think about them because it was a virtual thing. But yeah, those relationships are much closer. Now, the in-person job that I had with that company after college, those people were all older. Like, they were all at least 30 years older than me.
Wow. Yeah,
so the range was like 30 to 50 years older than me. And that makes me think about that meme that's like, work will really have you with a like 65-year-old friend. Like, dang, where is Shirley today? And that was my story, because I still like, people whose names I have to put Miss in front of, like, that's how much the gap was. But yeah, so that, maybe that's why, I mean, I wouldn't be going to lunch with them like that anyway. But we definitely do, you know, keep in contact for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So in your in-person job, well, I guess we'll just reference that, because I think online is a little bit different.
It's more relaxed.
Yeah. I guess, like, how would you go about making friends at work? Like, you, obviously you're in person, so things are a little bit different than online, than maybe like chatting initially on like the internal messaging server. So like, if you're in person.
Internal messaging server. Hilarious.
Well, what do they call it? Not iChat. I don't know.
Just private messaging.
Private message. Oh, Slack. I guess Slack would be another one that's big right now. Yeah.
How would I make friends? I think almost the same way that I would in college, where like if I thought somebody was interesting, I would just talk to them, introduce myself to them, and be like, hey, I'm Samaria. Maybe a compliment just because, you know, I'm a girl's girl mm-hmm. a little bit. So maybe a compliment. And I think I would just take the approach of slow but steady. So I wouldn't immediately invite them to drinks or lunch initially. I think I would just try mm-hmm. to build that rapport, like, oh, hey, you know, speak to them all the time, compliment them, maybe ask them a question about what they do. If it's not somebody who's in my same department, ask them a question about what they do and tell them what I do within the company, and just play things cool for like a few weeks. And then at some point be like, hey, I'm going out to lunch. You know, what's your schedule like? Can we get some time? I think that'll be nice. And go about it that way. I think that's how I would do it. How would you do it?
Yeah, so I would do a lot of the same similar things. To observe, just yeah. to kind of get the lay of the land. You don't want to come out of the gate too hot.
I really like you. Let's go to dinner.
And then just see what clicks naturally. Like, you might have certain people where you're of the same stage in life and you have certain similarities to talk about. So maybe start there. But then I would also make an effort maybe towards people who are putting forth initiative with me, so that it's not too awkward in me pushing myself into certain friendship circles, because, you know, there are cliques at work too.
Yeah.
But yeah, if someone's putting forth the effort and we click naturally and I've had a chance to observe them, then I would start putting forth the effort so that they know, like, oh, Miosha is interested in being cool too. Like, I think about, I had this one coworker, he was much older than me, like at least by 10 to 15 years. And his kids were older. You know, we didn't really have much in common, but he was always very friendly with me. He was a social person with a lot of people in the mm-hmm. office, but he was always very nice, very, very friendly. We didn't work in the same department, but I noticed him putting forth effort just to stop by my cubicle and say, hey, Miosha, how are you doing? How was your weekend? And that made me want to put forth effort too. And him and I became really cool. And so, yeah, even though we didn't have a whole lot in common, I guess, in our lives, he was just cool people. And he had been at the company for a while, so he knew a lot of the history and things that had happened. So I would always get the tea from him too mm-hmm. about, like, you know, oh, this and this happened, so that's why we do things this way going forward. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's keeping me in the loop because he had a lot of history. He had been there for a while. So yeah, just putting forth the effort when you see people maybe who've already been there. Mm-hmm. Putting forth the effort to be cool with you. Now, I will say, though, sometimes if you're the new person, you just have to be mindful and just take that time to observe before you just jump into, you know, being really close with them, because you want to kind of vet to see where they are and mm-hmm. what they have going on. Like the lady mentioned to you, like, hey, you might want to keep your options open with who you're getting close with at work, because sometimes people will see the new person and maybe have ulterior motives for getting closer to you or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of ulterior motives, has there been anything that's like held you back from making friends at work? Any red flags that you saw?
I don't have any juicy stories of ulterior motives. I would just say, if I feel like we're not aligned, and so I know for me, I take pride in my work, I'm going to be on time, get things done. We need to be on that same wavelength. You know, and it's not that I'll be policing you on your work. It's just, I want to be associated with people who are giving that same energy at work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people can make assumptions about you. Like, yeah, you might be doing things on time and correct and being a team player, but if they're giving something different, it just, they'll be surprised that this is the person that you're hanging with. And the upper management, they be watching and looking to see kind of who's clicked up together. You may, even though they may not say anything, mm. they're observing. And so, yeah, I would just say if I feel like we're not aligned, then I would maybe not go out of my way to get close. And in fact, I was in a situation at work where this young lady was getting close with me. And, you know, we were just doing things like, oh, maybe go to lunch or, you know, if she wanted to go for a walk just to take a break, we would go together. So not super close, but we were kind of headed in that direction
with each other for sure.
Yeah. And I would say she was starting to develop that type of relationship with other people too. So it wasn't like her and I were the only two
exclusive.
Yeah. But unfortunately she just started having a whole lot going on with her personal life. And then it started affecting her work life to the point where she wasn't showing up for work, was showing up late, not doing what she needed to do. And people started talking, commenting on it. It was obvious, you know, it was a smaller company. If you didn't show up, it was, everyone would know. Mm-hmm. But I had to have a conversation with her and just be honest.
What was that conversation like?
Just basically told her like, hey, I know you have a lot going on right now. And, you know, I definitely am like sending a lot of positive energy your way, because she was going through something serious. I will say that. But I just told her, I feel like you should be really focusing maybe a lot of your energy on that and protect your workplace kind of from what's going on, or have a conversation with your manager so they at least know like, hey, this big thing is happening. That's why I'm not, you know, showing up at work on time or whatever. So yeah, she at first I think was kind of surprised that I was is direct. I'm like, girl, this is a reflection on me, because like people are assuming that, you know, like we're getting close. But she understood. She was like, yeah, girl, I know it's a hot mess. And she was like, you know, just pray for me. And like, I mean, she kept coming to work.
Yeah.
But like within a week, they let her go of me having that conversation with her. Yeah. It was pretty significant. I'll just leave it at that.
Interesting. Look, yeah. You started out by saying I don't have any juicy stories, and then
well, I wouldn't say that she had ulterior motives.
Uh-huh.
I would just say that it was just the circumstances in her life at that time. Yeah. And she wasn't able to like really keep her personal life separated from her work life.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately putting her in a bad position at work, and because the company was smaller and we were cool like that, I just had to tell her straight up, like, I'm gonna have to pull back. And she understood it.
So. That is so fun. I'm trying to imagine how I would feel if I were in that situation, both your situation and her situation. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely don't have any stories like that.
And I will say after we had the conversation, like we were still like good, like it wasn't any bad energy. You know, there was even a situation where like her car was in the shop. I helped her out like to get home from work.
Yeah.
So like we were still cool. Like we still work together. It's just that like we can't be like super chummy and like doing the most.
Mm.
And like, it's like, girl, you got to be focused. Instead of hanging out, you got to be focused on getting all your work done.
To me, this is the distinction between a work friend and a real life friend, because I think everything that you're saying is okay because she was a work friend. Like, if mm-hmm. this were like your personal friend, then, you know, maybe you would react differently. But
and I wouldn't even say she was a friend. Like I said,
yeah, a worker.
It was like the early stages.
She's still trying to disassociate herself from this woman.
Well, because it hadn't been that long. Like it was a matter of like a month, maybe, if okay. that. So we really weren't like cool friends like that. It was like the early stages of like, oh, this is my work home girl. Okay. Very early. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything that has kept me away from making friends. Again, like I said, I just don't go in thinking, oh yeah, I'm about to meet a best friend here. I just kind of play things by ear. I'm my regular self. And, you know, the things and the people who are attracted to that will be my people. Mm-hmm. you know, so I don't go in like, oh, I'm gonna hate everybody, but I don't go in like, oh, I'm gonna love them all either. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. It is really about reading the room, I think. Mm-hmm.
So what would you say, even though you don't go into it maybe thinking you'll make friends, mm-hmm. what would you say are the benefits to having some good connections or friends at work, or any negatives?
You know, the best thing is if you are trying to get your job done, having those connections outside of your department, outside of your little area, that can be like life-changing. Mm-hmm. So like if you run into an issue and you're like, okay, I need this person who's like, I don't know, with the tech team or whatever to push something through for me or like move me to the front of the line or whatever, those relationships are super, super helpful. Like if you ever find yourself in a bind and someone else can assist you. So I think that's the best part. Another thing is just like having people who wish you well. So like you mentioned, you were going through major life events at certain stages of your career. When I decided to make the transition from working to go into grad school, girl, these people threw me a whole party. They raised a significant amount of money, right? Like all the people, not just in my department, but in departments that I had worked with or just connections that I had made outside. Like obviously my department threw the party, but they could see who was coming to say hi to me at my desk. And so they invited everybody. They brought everybody in, had everybody sign this like big poster and again, raised a significant amount of money, which was helpful because I was leaving that job just to go to grad school. I didn't have a financial plan at that time, except for what I had saved up. I knew I could always find work, you know, so I wasn't like too worried about it. But anyway, yeah, so just having people look out for you, whether it's like within the company when you're trying to get your job done or when you're leaving, you know, and those connections, at least in my case, have not like stopped. We haven't severed any like ties or anything like that. I can mm-hmm. still reach out to them and be like, hey, I need this. And actually, I think maybe my second year of my master's program, someone like reached out and was like, hey, we actually need help on this team. Do you need a position? Like, can we get something going? And so that would have been an opportunity for me to make money, even though I had stepped away from that career. Mm-hmm. I had all the knowledge. They knew my work ethic. And so yeah, that was an opportunity as a grad student to make money, you know, doing stuff for them. So mm-hmm. those are the benefits. I need a second to think about the negatives. You go.
Well, I'll give one additional benefit is just having people to have your back and look out for you. I think most people go throughout their career probably not having any like significant situations where you want people to have your back. But one instance is like if you're up for a promotion mm-hmm. and, you know, they're talking to other team members, you know, to see like who's bigging you up. Yeah. Like I know in my previous career where depending on the position that you were moving up into, they would, you know, ask the team as a whole, like, okay, do you feel like this is the right fit? You know, people will give their honest feedback because typically those meetings are kind of closed door. They're not like an anonymous system or anything like that. So yeah, you want people who will kind of have your back, lobby for on your behalf. And yeah, some of it is your work, but a lot of it does boil down to if people like you.
Yeah, who you know and who you are liked by.
Exactly. And that's not to say that you need to be a people pleaser, yeah. But just, you know, having people where if they are in a situation and they're like, okay, are we for her or against her mm-hmm. or him in this promotion, they're going to vote yay. It's just good to have those easy wins, I guess you could say. Yeah. And then another situation I think about is, unfortunately, if you find yourself on the end of a situation where that's more serious, mm-hmm. where you need someone to have your back with HR. Like I know there was a thing that happened with one of my friends at work where a situation happened, and I had to be interviewed by HR, and I had my girl's back.
Okay.
Yeah, like I told the truth, but I had her back, and I stand by everything that I said and what I did. And I knew that she would have mine if I were in her position. And so it kind of worked out for her in that moment to have a person who would, you know, go in and say like, yes, I support her on this.
You know, it's interesting. So after we did our Black Hair in the Workplace, a friend literally called me and had a whole conversation with me about those types of situations that she's been through. Literally her boss saying to her, oh, I like your hair. Now this is professional. and so, yeah, even though she had like had multiple hairstyles, she's like, now this one is professional. But she said she was able to go to a lady in HR. And because they had that connection, you know, the lady understood where she was coming from and handled it properly. But just with you saying that, you know, you need somebody to have your back, this kind of plays into my negatives. So a negative is that people are people and they can be messy. Mm-hmm. And I had a situation where something was said about me and, yeah, so something was said about me, and let's say my supervisor brought it to my attention, but not in the, oh, I'm looking out for you way, but just like, yeah, because I've heard this about you. And so it wasn't right. And so interestingly enough, I went and talked to a lady who was my previous supervisor. And I was like, oh yeah, I think like someone's talking and just saying things. I didn't get down to the specifics, but I was like, you know, just have to be careful, whatever. Now, I went to a third lady, right, who used to work in the same department with my old boss. Remember, the old boss is the one I went to. And this lady said, you know, Sam, I don't know who said it, but I bet you it was her, the old boss. Yes.
No.
And what's interesting is they were close on the surface, but she was like, I've been around long enough where I am like 99.8% sure if that thing, because I told that lady what, you know, what the thing was. She's like, if that's the thing that was said about you, I am sure she said it. And so I was just like, okay, so now I know who to be careful around, what not to say to that old boss. And it came in handy because she later took over my department. So she became like over, she wasn't my direct boss. She was like my boss's boss. And so like, I was like, okay. So I knew how to like navigate that entire situation because I'm like, she cannot be trusted. Mm. So yeah, that's a negative and a positive. People are messy, but also there are people who will low key have your back. So yeah, I think those, yeah, it's interesting.
That is true. And while you're vetting, you do have to look out for those people who are running their mouths a bit too much, or they're gossiping too much, and they're social to the point where they're not getting their work done. You know, they're coming to work to hang out and not do what needs to be done. And also because it is work, if a person is faced with the decision of look out for myself or protect this friendship, you better believe they're looking out for themselves.
Okay. As they should.
As they should. As we all should.
Yeah. Hopefully one day we can do an episode about like networking outside. Cause I think like outside of work, I think that'll be a good topic, especially now that things are opening up again and stuff. So I think that'll be a good thing. But anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts on this topic, but we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.